It looks awkward. Welcome, everybody, to another Launch It podcast. Tonight, it's just going to be me, Matt, and...
We got myself, Karen Deep.
We're going to do a little bit different. We have a legit setup now. We're going to have some fun. We're going to be talking some logistics news, and we're going to bring up some articles on our background here. We're going to talk about what's going on in the logistics world and just have a nice conversation about it.
Yeah, hope you guys like our new setup. You know, we had a great year in our earlier setup, but, you know, we want to really grow the podcast for this coming year. So this is what we're kind of rolling with for the time being, and, you know, be bigger and better next year.
And we're having a little bit of fun with it, right?
Yeah.
So kind of a new thing that's trending right now in news, KP, what we've been talking about here at work, and is that vaccinations, how they're transporting it, what's going on.
Yeah.
Big thing right now, what we're seeing, and this is the Wall Street Journal, is vaccination transport lean and tight. You know, that's big news. And how that's impactful for us, we're seeing rates going up. You were trying to book some freight this week from Texas up to Ontario for us here.
Yeah.
I've had other people talk about Texas and Arizona going to other places in the US and into Canada, and the rates are just skyrocketing.
Yeah. The rates were crazy this year. Like, usually we know they go up, but like the rates, I don't know, for me, from my experience with like the numbers we're hearing this year is a bit higher than usual. So I don't know if this has something to play into it or what the case was this year.
I think it does have a big play into it because they need reefers, right?
Yeah.
Like they're taking that capacity. And I've had a few conversations with a few people this in the last week or two, and they're talking about how that's going to affect the food supply chain, right? How less reefers on the road is going to impact price, how it's going to affect the supply chain to get foods to the stores. And not that there's going to be shortages or anything like that, but it's going to be tighter. Yeah. So obviously price is going to be reflective of that.
Yeah.
And I think, but, you, like you said, you saw a bit of that this week.
So the end consumer is definitely, we're definitely going to see maybe a month or two, the end consumer is definitely going to be paying more in for the fruits and vegetables.
Yeah, if not only that, any other kind of meats and anything that needs a reefer, really. Anything else on this article that we found interesting? You know, Pfizer rolling it out, they have facilities everywhere, -70, they have a good program on how to do it. I think it's gonna be great. I'd love to see the distribution, how they came up with the plan and everything. I know everybody's kind of looking at that. What did they say, 100 million was another article. Here's a great one. Supply chain didn't hit the target. Their target was 100 million. That's a lot.
100 million vaccines?
Yeah.
I mean, there's 7 billion people on the earth, so...
Who's missing out on the vaccines, right? But still, like, imagine the sheer amount of logistics it takes to move 100 million things in that quick of a space.
Yeah, considering how, like, let's say, how time-sensitive it is, how temperature-sensitive the commodity is, it's a lot of planning that has to go into this to make sure that it gets to what it needs to on time, right?
Yeah, that's kind of crazy, because when I was talking to someone again, they were saying it has to be held at -70.
Mm-hmm.
So most reefers don't go to -70. So they were putting it in dry ice to keep it in that temperature, and they have to keep it in that exact temperature. And once it's removed from that, they only have 5 minutes to put it back into a temperature where it's no good anymore.
Yeah.
And apparently the packages change color as well.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine the logistical nightmare of trying to move that and how much pressure you're putting onto onto the supply chain.
Even I guess from the trucks are doing the point to point, but at some point it's going to be a little bit of a final mile, right? So how is that being taken care of? That's something I've been thinking of, like, how does it get to, like, let's say the local pharmacy or like the doctor's shop? I'm not too familiar, like, how or where it's actually being distributed. I'm assuming it's going to hospitals, but at some point it's going to need to go into the local smaller walk-in clinics or your family doctor so you can get vaccinated, right? So how is that being going to be taken care of? So something interesting to see and play out, how it's going to play out.
Well, not only that, are doctors following the protocols? And obviously they are, but, you know, who's monitoring that? And, you know, if that's sensitive, like that's very something that everybody has to be mindful of. So, and how is that, like you said, last mile packages?
Yeah.
That's going to be a pricey kind of move for everybody, too.
Not that I want to take in, like, the ethical way. I know a lot of people are kind of already questioning it, if we should get the vaccine or not, because, like, the turnaround at which they got the vaccine, a lot of people are saying, like, hey, you know, we couldn't figure out a vaccine for, you know, a disease that was here before for so long. How can this vaccine be all of a sudden be ready to go in a span of, let's just say, a year and a couple of months, right? So just for, I guess, those people, they're going to be even more skeptical on the idea of, like, okay, this is, like, how is it being taken care of at, like, my local doctor's office in terms of what you mentioned, right? Are they doing the right procedures and right protocol to make sure that whatever they're being injected it is with is not expired, but whatever you want to say, contaminated, or, you know.
Well, it's funny you say it, because I saw a meme today. It was the Ian McKellen, the guy who played Gandalf in Lord of the Rings. Okay. He was getting the vaccine today, and he's like, hey, you have nothing to worry about. And a bunch of these people who don't believe this is true were saying, how do I know he's not getting vitamin C?
Yeah.
I can't really see the needle going in his arm.
Yeah.
And people were like, really, man? Like, how much more proof do you want? How do I know it's really you doing this and not a cat walking across the keyboard?
Yeah.
And I thought that was funny how that we have that big push. The other thing that I was going to say, and I lost my frame of thought, was... what was it around? Oh man, Frozen. I lost my thought. KP, you gotta take over.
Frozen vaccine.
No, frozen. I was gonna say something about the.
It was like the you said it's packaged in dry ice in terms of the handling of it. Maybe something along the lines of that, or
no. Okay, we'll move on. It'll come back to me if it comes back to me.
Enough of vaccines.
Enough of vaccines. Let's move on to something a little bit better. You had an article you wanted to talk about. Which one was that?
There's some mention about the FedEx surgeon jumps on holiday surge. I guess this time of the year, I'm assuming, you know, parcels, Christmas shopping, there's Black Friday, Boxing Day here in Canada. So I guess normally there is an increase in revenue and the number of parcels being delivered. But given this year, how kind of everything transitioned into working from home and everyone being more at home and not going outside. So I'm pretty sure there was an even more of a jump compared to previous years. So it's interesting to see how that is or has played out and how that the extra revenue and if there's extra profit margin within that, how that'll be reinvested in terms of those companies who did well into expanding and growing their businesses for the future years, if this is something to stay, right?
Yeah, because I think FedEx is the one that kicked Amazon out. They're not doing anything with Amazon anymore, right? So this is an increase without Amazon.
Yeah.
So that's in itself is interesting. That not only that, I know like my household, my wife did no shopping at the stores this year.
Yeah.
A, because it was chaos to get into the stores. B, order to your house from any website and you're fine. You just get it and you grab it. So, final mile. That's something we've been talking about, strategy here and how to get that final mile in.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's jumping all over it. You know, Instacart just landed. What's it called? Mastermind Toys here in Canada.
Okay.
So Instacart seems to be like a big player a lot for a lot of the high pieces. So. It's funny how the market's now shifting away from the traditional courier, which had this place. Like nobody, I remember like 20 years ago, nobody would ever think about taking on FedEx, UPS, and you know, Pure Later here in Canada. And it'll be like, these guys just own the space. There's no point.
Yeah.
Now, there's hundreds of them.
Yeah.
And the prices are falling for them. I wonder how much of a hit on their margins these companies have taken in the past, and how that, have they revamped? You know, there's people talking about using crowdsourcing for a lot of these deliveries. So they're doing a different network, and how that takes away from anything that FedEx does with their couriers, right?
Yeah. It's crazy. I mentioned one of the earlier, you know, 1-2 minute tidbit podcasts I did about a month ago, but like there's an app called Amazon Flex, where it's kind of like you could say crowdsourcing for drivers is. You just download the apps, kind of like Uber, and you download it, and they have different slots that are available for you to do a kind of like a shift. So they have like a 3-hour shift, 4-hour shift.
Yeah.
And you'll go ahead and pick your slot. You go to one of their facilities they have. They have a bunch in the GTA. There's a one by Scarborough, one in Brampton, a couple in Etobicoke. You just show your QR code. The person in the front checks you in and says, okay, just line up right here. They'll bring a dolly out and you know, bring the stuff that you're going to be delivering for the day. It's usually in a huge kind of tote. And then you take your app and you scan the individual parcels. It's usually about, depending on your block, if you have a 3-hour block, about 30 parcels. If you have about 4-hour block, it's about 40 parcels.
Really?
So they kind of have it spaced out. They have it that intricate and that detailed, right? You scan those off, and once that's done, you kind of go and do your delivery, and it's all auto-routed and everything for you. So you kind of just follow along with it. So just in that sense, so they're minimizing their risk in terms of not actually hiring employees for doing delivery. So that's like one less liability they have. They just kind of do this method for a lot of the final mile delivering into, I guess, the different neighborhoods in the GTA. I know they started expanding into other areas of Canada as well. I think Calgary was one on their next, Montreal was one on their next hit list as well, right? So they have, I know a lot of the stuff they do branch it off to other, I guess, partner carriers. They don't have their own Amazon dedicated trucks for little carriers. They have third party partners, different courier companies that do it, but they're also taking this strategy on having everyday Joes to deliver their parcels.
I wonder how much money they make off of that. Like, is it viable? Because I know one article I was reading recently about the Uber delivery guys, some of them with the hitting hard times in the US and everybody's trying to find jobs,
they can,
they're just sleeping in their cars because they can't make ends meet on certain things. I wonder if Uber, Amazon pays better on, yeah, on that delivery, yeah, portion.
So with it, the way they had their payment set up, it comes out to $22 an hour, but they pay by the block, right? So if you had a if you had a 4-hour block, it was $88 for that block. If you had a 3-hour block, it was $66, right? So I did my calculation after minusing for my gas expense.
Yeah.
My gas usually costs around $10 to $12 for that thing. So I was usually left with $10 less. So if I was on a 4-hour block, I made that just about $70, right? Which is not bad, because on a Saturday from 1 to 2 or 1 to 5, 1 to 6, you might not be doing anything. Just pick up the shift and make $70, right? So for me, I would continue to do it if I had the free time. I wouldn't say I'm not making money, but I know like what you're saying, the Uber cases,
yeah,
that some people are not making money, but I think that's it's kind of inconsistent, because like you might pick up a passenger, then you might be waiting for a few hours or a couple hours to get, yeah, the next passenger, depending on where that passenger takes you, right? If you pick up in Toronto and end up, I don't know, let's just say in a town, maybe like
Kitchener-Waterloo or like some random Waterton place, or something like that,
where, yeah, you're most likely not going to get thing, then obviously it'd be hard, right?
Yeah, that's interesting. That's not bad. Well, you got nothing else to do nowadays. Might as well go do deliveries.
Yeah.
Right? Can't go to a bar, can't go to a pub, can't do anything.
Just make money and save up.
Make money and save up. What else do we got here? Well, the ports, one thing that has been being talked a lot about is the ports being jammed up in a lot of places.
Yeah.
That was a big article there. I'm curious to see how that plays out for the rest of the year, how much of a delay that's going to happen. I'm gonna pull that something cool up after, but let's see if there's what was the other articles we wanted to see.
It seems like the hot topic recently is just the vaccine. A lot of the lines are surrounding that and COVID-19 as the year wraps up. And
has there been any other news in the news lately but COVID-19?
This whole year has been COVID. It should be COVID-20, but it's COVID-19. Well, I guess it started in 2019, but I guess it made a bigger impact in 2020.
Yeah.
And it'll be a year to definitely look back on. Once things have settled in 10 years, we'll be looking back. And I know a lot of people have different struggles. A lot of companies have succeeded in this time as well. So you gotta take the good with the bad and the bad with the good, right?
Absolutely. Here's that dry ice that we were talking about.
Okay.
Which is pretty neat.
I guess that's interesting. I guess a lot of the bigger companies, the Pfizer's and the Moderna's, whoever's creating and shipping out the vaccines, is they're most likely not going to give a smaller guy a chance to ship out their commodity, given like how probably expensive it is and thing, right? So they're going to go with the major players, the UPS, the FedEx's, right? So it's kind of interesting to see how that plays out on a partnership and stakeholder level, in terms of like, let's just say if some other guys, they might be smaller, but they might have the capacity to deliver it on a local regional level, but a Pfizer might not just go with them because they don't have the presence to do it on a national level, right?
Well, it was funny that you say that, because was it one of the carriers, one of them came up with their truck and trailer, and the other one came up with a partner carrier, and then their trailer or something like that was doing the delivery? Was that you that was telling me that?
I didn't see it, no.
Oh, yeah, someone was telling me that one of the big players came in, yeah, it was their, brand new unit doing the back, and then the other one came in and was like, not even their truck,
yeah,
it was their trailer, and they're going, it's already outsourced.
Yeah, it's already
outsourced. So what's the position here? I thought that was quick.
That'll be interesting to see, given how the industry is, and the code of practice in terms of make sure everything gets delivered safely. It's I don't know if handling vaccines of such importance is a good idea to partner off.
I don't think so. Like, so one thing I was talking about with someone recently was I think it was last night on the call. Mm-hmm. We were recording our podcast. Yeah. We're talking about food safety. Like, yeah, who's monitoring the food safety of the guys who are doing the deliveries? Who's monitoring all that? Like, that's a good question. And the Matt made a great point. He goes, these are tech companies. They're not out there for food safety. Yeah. They're out there to make a profit. So I'm curious when government's going to step in and start looking at how do we get more regulated in that piece. I'm curious when that's going to happen, right?
Well, hopefully this is I don't want to say more regulated than the food industry, but this is of an importance vaccine for society right now. So hopefully there's the right regulations and procedures put behind to make sure that we are getting it in a safe manner, right?
Yeah. Well, I think for the most part, governments know that everybody's watching it.
Yeah.
And I'm just gonna see if this makes sense. But this is a cool website for anybody's ever interested in ocean freight. I know I like looking at ocean freight. It's called Marine Traffic. Kind of shows you all the boats in North America. This is the port of San Diego right now. It's all jammed up. Lineups. People were telling me that there is boats on the outside. Let me see if I can zoom out here. Boats, you know, don't want to listen, eh? So the boats out here, they're all waiting. Port of Los Angeles is all congested. All these boats are trying to come in. They're all waiting. On the Canadian context, let's move up.
That should be cool. I didn't know about this website.
Oh no, I love. There's one for airplanes as well.
Yeah,
I love it. So you're part of San Francisco, same thing.
Yeah,
so we can even cool. We can even get down to a vessel ship type. We're gonna take out tankers, passengers. We just want to see the good old cargo vessels. So we're gonna go up further.
We're gonna bring it back to our great national country.
And look at all that too. Oh, Port of Vancouver.
Yeah, that looks way more jammed up than.
Yeah, because we don't have too many ports up here, right? So it's either Port of Vancouver or on the East Coast for us.
Montreal.
Yeah, Port of Montreal and the Port of Halifax, right? And it's kind of neat to see all these ocean laker boats too coming on down the seaway. That's another thing that we're looking at, you know, doing in the future.
Yeah.
Jumping on the Welland Canal and going to the seaway. So that's kind of neat to see how much actual freight comes into Canada and the United States through our great St. Lawrence Seaway, using the Welland Canal, going all the way to Chicago, going all the way up to, I believe, Duluth and Thunder Bay. Those are major ports for a lot of freight that comes through the ocean. So that'd be kind of neat to kind of look at that. And then the port of Newark doesn't seem that jammed up right now. Normally in the summertime, this thing's all jammed up with all the produce and everything like that. So right now it just seems kind of interesting.
There's not much happening on the East Coast.
Much happening on the East Coast.
Everything's on the West Coast.
Absolutely. So we're gonna stop casting that. So yeah, so that's what's going on in the world of logistics today.
Yeah, so we tried out this new format. Hopefully you guys liked it. Give us a thumbs up, a like, a comment. It really goes a long way.
We actually look forward to that kind of stuff. And hopefully this kind of conversational, you know, more true to the word of podcasts. You guys enjoyed it. If you guys ever want to join, we've had a lot of people come out and ask us. We got a lot of cool things happening in the next little bit. So we're going to continue trying different formats. We've tried the selfie podcast. We'll do those once in a while. We'll put out little articles here and there, motivational comments. We talked about doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
that's kind of interesting. We just want to bring value to everybody else that we, you know, what we're doing and how we're doing it.
For sure. And definitely 2020, you're gonna see a lot more posts from us. So sorry, not sorry. We're just trying to get the word out there about launch it. Like Matt said, just motivating everyone. Providing logistics news, industry, business news and industries. And doing our thing here.
Absolutely. So thanks again, everybody, and as always, have a great day. We're gonna launch it out of here, and have a good one.
Cue launch it.